Hi, Elise Castle.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
You're really starting episodes with that lately.
That's... Oh, almost falling. Because I'm getting ready to pull the mic towards me to really wow the crowds. And I get too excited. I almost knocked over my clean canteen, which I left at my yoga studio. And they kept it for 4 months. And eventually I was like, is that my water bottle? They're like, well, it's been here forever.
4 months?
Yeah.
It's a really long time.
I know. I thought it was gone for good.
So we are here today to discuss Boy Interrupted.
Which is a play on Girl Interrupted.
There you go.
Which starring, I'm just going to name some names and see if I'm right. Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Yep,
she
there
won
I
an
go.
Academy Award for
yes.
it.
Yes.
Can you think of who the lead of the film is?
Christina Ricci. Nope, that's Prozac Nation, right?
Yes.
Was it a girl or a boy lead?
What is the title of the film?
Girl Interrupted. Okay. Winona Judd.
Oh, you're so close.
Winona Ryder.
There you go.
I knew it was a Winona. Winona Judd is a singer.
Yes, she is.
People say that's my doppelganger.
So this originally debuted August 24th, mm-hmm. 2003.
A day before.
That is the day before my birthday. And in fact, I was on Fire Island for this particular birthday, and I mostly remember it because I remember watching this episode. They showed it on a big screen at the Ice Palace, and I remember watching this outside, not sort of, semi-outside, and seeing this episode for the first time there. Anyway.
So you were always a Cherry Grove queen.
I am much more of a Cherry Grove queen. That
never
is true.
Never a Pines queen.
I've stayed there a couple times. It's much more expensive, and that's where the cool parties are, but let's face it, she ain't cool.
I, August 24th, 2003, was getting ready to or had just moved into my dorm for my freshman year of college.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that?
Oakland University.
Okay.
In Rochester, Michigan.
So this is directed, like last week, by Tim Van Patten. For the record, he won the DGA for this episode.
Directors
Guild of America Award. Yeah, there you go. Written by Cindy, and I did hear Michael Patrick King say her name and made it sound much more like Shupak.
Okay.
So we'll go with that. She did write that Otherhood that just recently came out on Netflix.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I just watched the first episode of that.
Is it a TV series? I thought it was a movie.
All right. Well, maybe. My roommate was watching it, and I left the house before it was over, so I thought
gotcha.
It was a series.
It is a movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you saw the first episode of that film. So we have our DVD recap. Carrie receives a pleasant surprise when her high school boyfriend, Jeremy, calls her up and asks her to meet for dinner. The New York City summer heat is driving Samantha crazy, but equally frustrating is her inability to be granted access to Soho House, an exclusive club that features a fabulous swimming pool. While Miranda's love life is improving, poor Stanford's is in a downward spiral. So we start out by discovering that Carrie didn't go to her high school reunion.
Neither did I, but I don't think we had one.
I did. I went to my 10-year.
Okay. Yeah, there was actually Facebook drama about it because my 10-year high school reunion was 2013, so Facebook was a thing. And someone actually just reminded me of this recently where, one person was going to arrange it and then another person was like, wait, I was on the leadership council. I want to arrange it. But I don't know if it ever got arranged and I didn't go.
Oh, okay. It was an interesting experience. I'm glad that I went. I didn't 100% enjoy it. But I'm glad that I did it.
And you noticed what restaurant they're walking into.
Yeah, they're in Otto.
Otto, which is the Mario Batali pizza restaurant.
Yes, that our friend managed for a short time.
Yes.
Actually, really good. They have great food.
Now, is it West 4th or it's LaGuardia
it's
place?
It's near, it's...
University.
University is really where it is.
And I didn't realize it was open then. But is it still Mario Batali? I'm sure he's no longer...
I think that he is no longer a part of it.
Right. I think Italy was the last thing that he just recently let go of.
Removed his name from.
Yeah.
But it's still a great, I've enjoyed every experience I've had there. I've very much enjoyed. Yeah, she's meeting her high school sweetheart there. And just, we'll get there sooner or later. But the theme for this episode is for sure high school. Did you not catch that?
No.
That everything about this episode is can be traced to high school, it feels like.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that more as we go along.
Sure, because I don't understand what you mean, but I probably will once you. Yeah, also, what I was going to say that's a general theme is this wouldn't really happen anymore because of Facebook and social media. Anyone that I cared about in high school, I sorry if we're not Facebook friends, so add me if you're listening, high school friends. But I talk to them, and I see them on social media, you know?
Yeah, I don't really. I'm friends with a handful of people that I knew from high school, and then a lot of others I'm not. And I don't, it's not like, I don't mean it in a shady way.
But I think you're also a little bit, not by a ton, but, you know, you're 8 years older than me, so you're removed even more from social. When Facebook really started, I was still in college. So there was really only like 3 or 4 years separating me from those people. So I could still remember their names. But had I joined Facebook 13, 14 years after I graduated high school, I would have been like, Cheryl, who? You know, it would have been more of a...
Yeah.
And my brother also still lives in my hometown and was close to me in age and is friends with a lot of those people.
So when my high school sweetheart called me for a reunion, I was curious to see if he looked like the boy I used to make out with in front of my locker.
Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to chemistry class?
Actually, he looked better.
So it's David Duchovny.
Woohoo! X-Files.
Yeah.
Who was that person? Gina Davis?
You thought it was Gina Davis.
Yeah, but...
But it's really...
Jillian... Davis.
Jillian Anderson.
Anderson.
He's going to be spending the month in Connecticut.
Yeah.
We discovered that he married someone from business school but just got divorced.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
So Carrie's wheels are like probably turning. That's enough time to be over and ready to date again. Yeah. And wow, you look great.
Yeah. Yeah. And we discovered that she has fictional plans.
Was that in case I turned out to be a
loser?
I know. You can't. It's just the loser.
Is that like
symbol.
The high school thing?
Yes.
Okay.
That feels very high school to me.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And also that he was from the X-Files feels very high school to me. But yeah, loser.
He even uses the term.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
If you're younger than me, you probably don't use that expression much. Just not for nothing, David Duchovny is 5 years older than Sarah Jessica Parker, but they look well matched.
He looks to me also like a young Mike Myers.
Okay, yeah, no, I can get that.
I was going to be like Austin Powers. I
a
had
young
to...
Austin Powers. So we get to Miranda's and Robert has stopped by. Mm-hmm. She's home on a Saturday night.
I didn't think you'd be home on a Saturday night.
Motherhood.
What's my excuse?
She looks good for Miranda being home on a Saturday night.
Yeah, she's just hanging out in her apartment.
But maybe now she's like, at any chance Robert could be here. Yeah, and he offers her 2 courtside tickets to the Knicks, and you can also see this interaction, like, is he going to give her 1 ticket and be her date?
Right, you initially assume he's going to give her 1 ticket.
So he gives her 2, and my first thought is Steve would love this.
Oh, yeah.
You should take Steve. Steve
just
really,
to make things super awkward. He would. It's true. There's some, you know, it's a charity basketball game, which I guess is maybe why it excuses that there'd be a basketball game in August.
Mike Jensen, how do you know these things?
I just know that season starts later than August. I don't know exactly when, but I know that there's no basketball in August.
Right, but isn't Sex and the City not necessarily...
They say this is August, though. Like, we are naming that this is August in the episode. It's fine. It's just, I mean, it's just a funny thing that I thought, like, I guess maybe they do charity games earlier in the
Mike
season.
Mike Jensen, sports enthusiast.
You know me. Yeah, he gives her both the tickets and says that he'll see her there.
Yeah.
Miranda wasn't sure if it was a charity game or just charity.
And then we get to Carrie and Jeremy. Oh, there's a cute name in there somewhere.
Jeremy.
Jerry. Yeah, they're on a walk, and, you know, what are you doing in Connecticut?
Yeah, I didn't even ask what you're doing in Connecticut. Maybe he's seeing Lainey.
Maybe. He's going to go visit with Lainey. Yeah, he just needs to get away.
And then sometimes you need to get away. Sometimes you wonder why you stayed away so long.
Yeah,
and
we get pretty romantic here.
Yeah, and this scene, I was watching it, I was like, wow, it must be cool to be that, like, confident, or he just looks so cool. He's so comfortable in his own skin, which makes no sense for what we find out, but he's so comfortable and so confident, and you're just like, things must always work out for you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I know those people that I, from the outside, I think, wow, everything in your life must be perfect. If you get to know anybody, no one's life is perfect.
Right,
everyone has, there's always something underneath the surface.
But that's what's interesting about this, is he seems so put together and so confident.
I think it's also funny, you know, I mean, I don't have this person, you know, I didn't date in high school, so I don't have, like, that person that I had this intimate relationship with from my teen years, who then years later I would see and have this rapport. It seems nice.
Yeah, I didn't have like a high school sweetheart, you know. I had crushes in high school that I'm still friends with to this day, and like I think of them fondly, but not in that way, because they're gay. And that doesn't mean that that was not the reason why. It's just like, I think I was so attracted to them as a person that sure. I was just like,
yeah. Yeah. And he feels that I feel like I want to kiss you. And it's sort of unclear. Yeah. We were in a lip lock for most of 1982.
I wasn't even a twinkle in my mother's eye in 1982.
I was five.
Yeah. I said, I wasn't a twinkle in my mother's eye. Mike was a toddler. Also, that was like a long intro to get into that kiss. Like, Carrie puts her bag down. They like yeah. look at each other. There was a lot leading up to it. That's a lot better without the gear shift sticking up my ass.
Which I guess was an improv, but also don't knock until you try
it. Yeah, I was thinking that could be fun. Yeah, sorry, that was, I'm in manual.
That was a Duchovny improv, apparently. Also, he is 9 inches taller than she is in real life.
Wow, how tall is he?
But I guess she's in like, he's 6 feet, but she's 5'3".
Okay.
So I guess maybe she's just in heels.
Yeah.
She likes the heels.
Whenever Mike says heels, he just keeps like lifting his butt out of the chair a little bit, and it's kind of fun.
And we go from a romantic hot summer night,
followed by a miserable hot summer day, which was the 14th miserable hot summer day in a row.
Which is such a thing.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the only real hot we had for like 2 or 3 days, I think.
Yeah, but New York sometimes in the summer.
And it
I
won't
hate summer
end
in New
me
York.
Too. That's the worst.
And it's just because you're walking everywhere and it's just hot. And
when you're not
like
walking,
garbage,
you're on a subway.
Which is just hot. Ugh, and also smells
terrible.
Like garbage.
Especially the 96th Street at the 123 station.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that would be a saving grace is if you ran into Ginger Spice on the street.
Yeah, absolutely. We ran into Jerry Halliwell playing Phoebe, mm-hmm. Ginger Spice.
Samantha Jones!
I owned her album, for the record. I wasn't really a Spice Girls person.
She became like a gay... I mean, the Spice Girls in general were like gay pop stars. Like,
yeah, I don't want to make any judgments about the guys icon that she's with in this scene. But I'm like, oh, it's Ginger and her gays.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. But I feel like her album was also like very gay club.
Yeah, definitely.
Circulated. What was the song?
The album was called Schizophonic, ooh, which drew some negative attention. Okay. I remember her performing on the Rosie O'Donnell show, and like her backup dancers were wearing puffy coats.
Mi chico Latino.
No, I'll know it if
look
I
look at me.
Yeah, look at me. That's totally what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was definitely, I feel like, played
well,
in a
she
lot
knew.
Of gay clubs.
She knew where to like put her attention. Right. So she's been at the Soho House, which I hear is a nightmare to work at.
Really?
Yeah, I know a guy that worked there and said it's like the worst.
Why?
Because it's just like really rich people, you know, that don't know that you're a human being just because you're waiting tables.
Well, and now the membership for Soho House is for Local House, which is Soho House New York membership. It's $2,100.
Yeah, we're later on going to reference that she says that she spends $900, and it is much more than that.
Yeah,
now
it's $2,100, and then to get into every Soho house, it's $3,300. But if you're under 27, it's only $1,000.
Which I'm kind of like, F you, Soho House.
Yeah, but I mean, that's ageist. The point, right? Oh, under, I mean, a lot of places have those. They're thinking maybe your career is not where it should be yet. But also, I mean, I understand why they have the membership. Country clubs have memberships. It's just,
I'm not anti-membership. I mean, if I had money, I would totally be a member. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
Oh, you just don't think it's fun to work at.
No.
You have no problem against Soho House. You have a problem against some of the people that go to
absolutely
Soho House.
Yes, okay. That is my issue.
Right.
Yeah, Jerry's not so much an actress, but she's sweet and she tries.
We just dropped by the Soho House for a dip. Oh. I mean, what else can you possibly do in this heat? Except sit by the pool and drink cocktails while they mist you with Evian. Isn't it the best?
Samantha makes it sound like she would be there if not for a meeting she has to run to. But in reality, she can't get in. She's on a wait list.
Toodles. Samantha says toodles. Oh, and got makes it me laugh. Yeah, so then we get to Four Ladies at Lunch. Yeah, Samantha cannot get into Soho House.
In high school, she said she could just jump a fence, but in reality, that's not how she got to that pool.
No.
Yeah.
We know how she got
to that pool.
And we don't need to talk
no
about
judgment.
It again because it makes us
uncomfortable. Speaking of high school, see,
Carrie,
we're in high school again.
Says she saw her high school sweetheart.
Yeah, and she might like him again, and Charlotte
loves
this.
That. Yeah. Yeah, Charlotte loves it so much.
And I love the moment of like,
I kissed you goodnight.
The salt and peppers are pretty full.
Oh, good.
And Charlotte, you're marrying him.
Yeah. We found out they never slept together.
Right.
Which I love.
Which isn't outrageous.
No, I think it's great. They were high school sweethearts that, you know, decided they were too young. Yeah, you're going to marry him.
Which I've had this experience recently with a friend of mine we were walking down the street and like ran into someone and she's just like, that's your husband. And it leads to, it makes a lot of expectation because you sit there and you're like, is it? Should I really be focusing all my energy on this? Like, and then I go into Judy Garland's The Man That Got Away and I'm, you know.
I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get more on that later. I'm going to name names. I'm just kidding.
You're marrying him.
Will you stop? He doesn't even live in New York. He lives in Denver.
People move.
Carrie wonders if it might be more tragic than romantic. Like, if I had the guy in high school, what have I been doing for 20 years? To be clear, in your late 30s, you are not the same person you were when you were in high school.
Yeah, I don't like Carrie's highlights right now. They look a little messy.
This was a thing, though. We started to get into, like, the chunky...
Believe me, I had them. They are best known on the cover of Kelly Clarkson's Thankful album.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I had the chunky highlights. I looked very Tracy Turnblad.
I feel like I had the chunky highlights. I feel like I had the chunky highlights because of this.
I had the chunky highlights because of Kelly Clarkson and Tracy Turnblad.
There you go. Inspirations all. Hairspirations all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love her delivery of like,
why did you two break up?
I broke up because I thought, come on, there must be better guys out there. Turns out there aren't.
It's Jeremy good. Wade.
Yeah, so she starts to think about her retro relationships. For the record, the yearbook pictures, that picture of Sabrina Wright, that's a picture of Cindy Shupak.
Oh, fun.
Yes, and Sabrina Wright is also a props mistress on the show.
I love that Carrie's high school yearbooks made the move to New York City.
Mine are in the living room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have them there. Oh, are they? Yeah, they're in my living room, definitely. I also just liked, if you pause on the yearbook pictures, one of the women's name is Gloria Swanson. So it kind of talks about like how we in general have better taste now, like when it comes to clothes or that kind of thing. But what about relationships? Like, do we have better taste when it comes to relationships?
When it comes to matters of the heart, did we have it right in high school?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, gosh, I had some crushes in high school and like people that I really thought like I needed to be with. And now I look back at it and I'm just like, thanks. God.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think about the feelings that I had for people in high school and then into college, because I didn't come out until I was 18.
Okay.
So a lot of that sort of high school stuff really happened in college for me. And I remember collapsing and falling to the bottom of the stairs out of grief over this guy that didn't like me the way that I liked him. And I remember going to a church dance, actually, and like my best friend and I hiding behind the curtain, like there was a stage in the auditorium and the dance was in the auditorium, but we were backstage and I was just like weeping because I had come to the realization that this guy that I loved so much, that not only were we never going to be together, but I could never even tell him because it would ruin our friendship. And
this was all at a Mormon dance.
This is at a Mormon
this
dance.
This sounds like a great independent film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Mormon dance.
I don't, you know, I think about too, like all the people that I had asked out in high school that said no. I wonder what they're doing now.
Yeah, I definitely didn't ask anyone out in high school.
Oh, I did. I was more ballsy in high school than I am now. I remember going up to this guy in middle school and being like, I like him. I'm going to ask him out. And I didn't even beat around the bush. But I think it's because asking out anyone, like, what did it even mean?
Right, like maybe we'll go to the mall.
Yeah.
Or like...
So I was like, will you go out with me? And he just said no. But I did it.
I remember hanging out in the mall at like JCPenney. And there was a guy that worked retail there that I thought was very cute and like psyching myself up to ask if he wanted to go out.
Oh, I used to have a crush. I worked at the Gap in the mall and there was this guy that I think worked at Abercrombie and we used to always meet on our breaks at Arby's. And he really liked me a lot and I liked him, but we would go to these Arby's dates, but nothing happened because I was so, like, self-conscious because he was, like, an Abercrombie guy.
I was going to say, you got to watch out for the Abercrombie guys.
Well, and also, no like, good. Me in high school was, like, really not that type, you know? So it was just very intimidating, but yeah.
Yeah, I worked at the movie theater before the movie theater was actually attached to the mall, but it was near the mall, and I would walk to Pretzel Time to see the guy that I had a crush on. Mm. And I one time said, you should come visit me at the movie theater. And he was like, oh, that's an awful long way to walk. And I was like, well, I just walked here. Anyway, screw him.
He wouldn't walk 500 miles.
He wouldn't walk 500 feet for me.
No, I'm sorry, Mike.
That's okay. I'm mostly over it. So we cut to Samantha at the Soho house.
Trying to get in.
Yeah, trying to see what's holding up her membership.
I've been on the wait list since June.
The woman, the receptionist or whatever the hell, the front desk lady, who was like, we're not currently accepting membership because the pool is so fabulous.
Yeah.
The pool is so fabulous, we're at capacity every day.
I'm like, all right, girl, you can find another way to do that. Samantha dropping the whole do you know who I am thing is a little bit much.
Well, can I at least use the restroom before I go, or is there a wait list for that as well? Down the car door on your left, the door marked WC. Miss, did you leave your car on the sink?
Oh, yes.
Since they didn't seem to know who she was at the Soho house, she figured she could be Annabelle Bronstein.
And then I thought, doesn't she, because it flashes forward to her there. I was like, doesn't she have to go back that same lady? But it's the next day.
Yeah. So the next day she goes back up to the pool. Can you imagine if she just walked right back to the front and was like, oh, I found my card.
I found my card.
So yeah, she's approached by a male pool attendant. His name is Lucas Kerr, and I bring him up because he works pretty steadily.
Okay.
Like, I've never seen him, none of this stuff look like a breakout role, but he does, like, two or three little TV, I shouldn't say little, that's belittling. He does two or three, like, you know, roles on TV every year, so good on him. And, you know, there's that moment of, like, is he going to call her out?
Right.
But no, he just wants to get her a beverage.
Excuse me. Can I get you something to drink, Miss Bronstein?
Yes, but I'll just pay cash.
Because she can't pay card.
Yeah. So now we're at cafeteria. Once again, high school.
Oh, now did you figure all this out yourself or did you just like listen? Do they talk about it in the.
I feel like I'd figured out a lot of it on my own. Really? And then Michael Patrick King verified a few things that I had thought. But I had already thought that. I was like, all right, high school, we're at cafeteria. Cafeteria is
a restaurant
in New York City.
On 7th Avenue.
Yeah. It's 24 hours.
Is it still 24 hours?
I think
it's
still 24 hours.
It used to be a real great place to go after you went to Splash.
I don't think I've ever been there before 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ever been there.
Oh, no. I've been there many times after 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And know people that have worked there and said it can be quite an adventure.
After 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I think any 24-hour restaurant can be quite an adventure.
Terrible.
I mean, mostly just Mike Jensen running in there to eat chicken fingers and then leaving a bottle of ranch on the table.
Oh, I left ranch almost everywhere I went.
Yeah.
So Stanford and Marcus are there, and then Anthony and Charlotte arrive, and Stanford wants to go over because Marcus has a tank top on. I wrote, I'm honestly kind of over this.
Oh, me too. I think Anthony just wants to F Stanford.
Oh.
In my mind.
Interesting theory.
Yeah, because he is so mean to him, so catty to him, and wants to, like, break up him and his boyfriend, and it's, you know, Anthony, back off.
Yeah, but also Stanford, back off. Like, I kind of don't approve on it on either side, which I wrote a little bit later. He shuts down Marcus laughing at a joke Anthony makes. I'm kind of like, let your boyfriend laugh.
That's Chelsea for you. Can't swing a dick without running into someone you know.
And that reminds me of, like, every time you and I are in Hell's Kitchen and we're walking and we're like, we're going to see someone. Because I feel like Hell's Kitchen is the new Chelsea.
It's Halsey. Yeah, Hell's Kitchen is the new Chelsea. It's Halsey. But just for the record, I want to put out there, it's not that I always recognize someone when we're in Hell's Kitchen. It's that everyone knows Elise when we're in Hell's Kitchen.
Not everyone.
I am not the famous person in Hell's Kitchen. Elise is the famous person in Hell's Kitchen.
I'm not famous.
Well known.
The girl gets around. That's from Footloose the musical. And you wonder why I'm well known.
Well, we'd love to stay and chat, but we have to go get our tuxes for the prom.
Did you say the prom?
Anthony is kind of shady about the prom, and of course Charlotte was prom queen.
Yeah, and he's going to the prom at the Gay, Lesbian, Bi, Transgender Center, which just doesn't feel right the way they're saying it now, because we now know it just like as LGBT.
Yeah, and they add the Q now.
Right. But
yeah, LGBT.
LGBTQAI plus.
I'm on the decorations committee.
What's the theme? Queer and queerer?
So Stanford missed the prom because...
You were gay. No. My girlfriend and I broke up the night before because...
You were gay.
But I've known that too. In high school, you know, we had quite a few people that were out, and there were two guys that just did this shit to each other all the time.
Yeah, it's Mean Girl is really what it is. And something that I heard from Michael Patrick King is he was saying that Anthony is that gay guy in high school who is out but picks on the other gay boys. And I wrote, I'm not really on anyone's side here. Like, everyone's just behaving badly.
No, I wasn't gay until...
You were born?
I'm sure what he means is I wasn't out or I didn't identify as gay until, like, when I just said I came out when I was 18.
Okay.
I think I was gay before I was 18.
Right.
Anthony's point is, when Stanford starts a sentence of, like, I wasn't gay until...
You were born.
You were born.
Yeah. Oh, he sucks.
They leave and Charlotte gives Anthony a look. And Anthony knows something.
I happen to know that Marcus used to be a gay escort.
Named
Paul. What an exotic escort name.
Worst hustler name I ever heard.
So we're at the game. I love that they're looking at this ad in the front row at MSG.
Do you think Stanford knows?
Probably not, so maybe we shouldn't talk about it in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, Paul's ad is very large. Yeah. Paul has the largest ad on the page, which I know is just like a, you know, a design thing. We have a few 555 numbers, a thing we don't see on Sex and the City that much. A lot of the ads are
555. Oh, yeah, because a lot of them were real numbers.
Yeah. Insane Erotic Swimwear has two ads on one page.
Wow.
And then Charlotte wishes that she hadn't seen it. And
what do you think Insane Erotic Swimwear is? It's like, not only is it like backless, but there's also spikes.
Crazy.
It's outrageous. Am I crazy for thinking this just isn't a big deal?
We're going to get to why it's a big deal. In my opinion.
Okay, because
I don't think that him having been an escort is a big deal.
As long as they're responsible and he's been tested and he's monogamous now because that's what they both want out of a relationship, I don't think anything's wrong with it.
Yeah. It's funny that I was very much
Me newfangled.
He looked amazing. Did you see him looking at me?
He totally likes you.
You think?
And I wrote that this scene is actually kind of sweet. Charlotte was also a cheerleader, of course.
Of course, the Knick City dancers.
And they're
come
just,
out.
Yeah, but they're sort of like crushing on, like, oh, there he is, he's so cute. Yeah. And it's kind of fun. Yeah, and then the New York City dancers come out.
Lots of highlights and hair straighteners with this. A friend of mine was, when we were in college, she was an NBA dancer.
Oh, did she dance like this?
I mean, this is very like dance. Yeah, it's like this, the kind of dancing, like hip hop, like. Not like dance competition.
Right. It's not what you would consider cheerleading. Like this is like
dancing.
Right. No, they're
like, yeah, she's an amazing dancer.
And she's flirting with your boyfriend. And I love that Miranda just folds her arm and sort of pouts.
Yeah. And she's also in kind of a very Marvelous Miss Maisel dress.
Okay.
It's kind of ball gowny. It just didn't feel very Miranda, but she is seeing her man.
Yeah. I think she's trying to look particularly pretty. Mm-hmm. And 2 hours later, Miranda feels like a loser. And
she goes over to try to flirt with him, but he is flirting with that, or she thinks he is flirting with that other
cheerleader. Yeah. And I just love Charlotte's like, you are better than her. Once again, this all feels very high school. Like this is like the high school girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, go talk to him.
Yeah.
But he's
Charlotte
talking to
says,
a cheerleader
just you
instead.
Go over there and flirt a little bit.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm out.
So we cut to Carrie and Jeremy kissing on the bed.
Carrie thinks they should go all the way.
Yeah, he has to catch the last train.
The last train leaves in half an hour.
I think you should stay.
She thinks they should go all the way, and then he says he has to be honest, which is the worst thing someone you like can say.
Look, I'm not just taking some time off. Sort of in a mental institution.
Which is actually the worst thing someone you like
can
say.
Yeah, I might just try that just in general.
Just to get out of something.
Sorry I haven't responded to your text.
I'm just in a mental institution.
I'm sort of in a mental institution.
Yeah, she wanted a man who could commit.
Not a man who was committed.
We're by the pool.
Yeah. Sam is allowed to bring a lot of people with that.
Yeah,
kiss
I'm
pass.
Not sure how that works, but
it's not like Planet Fitness where you get one person.
She gets like four in this case.
At least.
And we find out, you know, he's voluntary. It's not really a mental institution. It's a therapeutic community.
Like Juno Spears. What is Juno Spears?
I see it referenced as Juno. Maybe like Juno Spears is a particular thing, but okay. Juno is like a mental health facility.
Oh, it's not one of like Britney's long lost relatives.
No, nothing like that. And Miranda just sort of mentions that she's 38 and competing with a cheerleader. And Carrie brings up the fun surprises.
Yeah.
That's just then, all sort of, I mean, this is just dating someone when you're older.
Right. And this is also, I feel like, a lot of lead up so Stanford can say, in a good relationship, there are no surprises.
I wrote, and then Stanford basically begs to have his relationship ruined.
Yeah, I said, really setting himself up, Stanford. Charlotte is very Princess Leia right now with her hair.
Oh, yeah. She has cute hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they sort of pass down the ad, and Samantha basically gets out a bullhorn.
Yeah.
Marcus?
And then Stanford, of course, insists upon seeing it. I love the passing of the blame.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone better tell me where this came from right now. I'm not kidding.
I got it from Carrie.
I got it from Miranda.
I got it from Charlotte.
I got it from Anthony, but I told him that you and Marcus were very much in love.
It's very telephone.
Yeah, yeah. I got it from her. I got it from her.
Which is all very high school.
Very high school. But then I also still love Charlotte's, even in this case, Charlotte like has that optimism of like, you know, she puts like a cheerful spin on it, basically. Yeah, Stanford sort of walks away, and we have a cross-cutting of now the manager shows up and wants to know which one of them is Annabelle.
Excuse me, which one of you is Annabelle Bronstein?
I am.
And then they get into a little bit of a ridiculous argument because Samantha is insisting she's Annabelle Braunstein, but the guy keeps having some sort of response. She's British. She's on vacation.
Yeah, she's on vacation in London. I also love that if you look in the background, the girls for sure have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Samantha for sure did not say, oh, I'm pretending to be Annabelle Braunstein.
Right.
Because you see them all. And then, like, I would have gathered my stuff so quickly. Like, you know my fear of getting in trouble. Yeah. The second he said Annabelle Braunstein, I would have, like, jumped over the glass wall.
Yeah, and they're all kind of doing that. And I love, she's got some great ones.
Yeah, the whole exchange is pretty good.
I am absolutely Annabelle Braunstein, and I do not pay $900 American dollars annually. And then you hear the girls, what's with the accent? She has a case of the Madonnas. Come on, Mike, you have to admit, like, that's the second time I've heard that this week, someone talk about that. I also love that she was raised in Inja.
Oh, it's pretty good. This whole exchange is pretty good. Yeah, I would have been out of there. So we're now in the mailroom, which was, I think, one of the main things where I was like, oh, this is high school. Mm-hmm. They're at their lockers.
Oh.
Like, I got that from, I mean, I don't know that I got it the first time that I saw it, but I think as I was thinking about the high school, I was like, oh, they're definitely in the locker. Like, they're at their lockers in the hallway
right
now.
That's when I asked Robbie out in the seventh grade, and he just said no.
No.
Right at my locker.
What'd you disappear to after the game?
And she does not play it cool.
Oh, I was gonna thank you, but you were talking to that girl.
What girl?
Some cheerleader. Do you like her?
No, I like someone else. You.
This cheered Miranda up immediately.
Now see, how would I know that?
And then Mrs. McCaffrey comes in, my favorite person.
I feel like she's definitely the hall monitor. Yeah. She's not happy about it.
I love her. We didn't have hall monitors. We just had, like, security guards.
We had, I don't know what we had. I guess we probably had hall monitors. So Jeremy is at the door with marbles.
In case I lose any more of mine, I want to know where I can find a stash.
He still hasn't really figured out how to explain what's happening.
I should probably just come right out and say something about this, but truth is, I haven't worked out my rap on it yet.
It's interesting because in this scene, he paints it as both not that big of a deal, but also that he's going through some big stuff.
Right, and I just thought that I liked him even more here. Even though he's going through a lot of stuff, he's still super confident and, like, knows who he is.
Yeah, he's not at all shy about it. He's like, I'm going through stuff. And basically, like, he says that some things are just harder for him. And he figures he could spend 5 years in therapy or do it intensely over the next month.
More on that later.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be known as the nut job from high school. Also, did you notice the little, like, tear on his shirt?
No.
It actually really, really bothered me. There's, like, a tear on his shoulder. And then that was one of the things that Michael Patrick King said. They did that on purpose because they wanted it to appear as though he's maybe still wearing the same clothes that he wore in high school. Which is a weird detail, but in case anyone else watching was also bothered by the weird hole on his shoulder.
That seems... Sometimes I'll read about makeup design and this and that, and I'm like... That's a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to catch all that symbolism.
Yeah.
That night, we went all the way, and we weren't the only ones.
And so does.
So do Miranda and Robert.
Miranda is rolling down the river.
I guess that there were takes in this where she was doing, like, more of the routine.
Okay.
Which I would love to see those outtakes. Stanford is at Carrie's.
It's not the escort thing, but the secret thing that's bothering me. I was the last to know.
Okay, so this is when I was kind of like, okay, I get that what he's upset about is the secret keeping.
Yeah, Marcus retired in 1992.
Right. That if he had just told him, because that it would have been different.
He didn't want to hear the truth for some bitchy queen with back issues of honcho. I just think that Stanford and Marcus, or Stanford and Anthony, are going to end up together.
Interesting theory.
That is my Sex and the City fan fiction.
Well, he reveals that they broke up, that Stanford and Marcus had broke up right before the prom, which Stanford still has to go to because he's on the committee. This is all very high school. Asks Carrie to go. But she has a very typical excuse.
I have to visit my boyfriend at the asylum.
You know, Jeremy just wants her to see the place.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Canyon Ranch.
So Carrie's very dressed up.
Yeah, she is dressed for the Titanic. She is all aboard. Carrie is here.
And he has a sign, which I guess is also a David Duchovny improv, that he made that little sign that says Bradshaw. It's cute.
Yeah, it's funny.
He's super cute.
He's like a prop man. He's like, I'm going to go in with this joke and I'm going to make a prop for it. He's the Carrot Top of dates.
Sure. So they're having a picnic on the lawn, and maybe later they can go hiking.
I don't really hike.
Neither do I. But I will fill you in on something I discovered. Hiking is walking.
The funny thing about that is the first time I went hiking, I just thought it was walking. But it's a lot harder.
Oh, it depends. It depends on the hiking hike, trail. Yeah. And it sort of seems like everything could be peaceful.
I started to think maybe the Juno Spear Center should be mandatory for New Yorkers, like the Hamptons or Fire Island.
Feces!
Except some people throw feces.
Yeah, he's just screaming feces.
Yeah.
For the record, that's Michael Patrick King.
Oh, screaming feces?
Yeah.
That sounds like a punk band. Screaming feces.
Screaming feces. That's good, actually. That's a nice one.
The female
nurse is Grace Naughton, who is a producer on Sex and the City as well. And then I guess the guy is like part of the security team. So
Do you think they just needed something right there?
Oh, I actually do. He explains that when they were trying to figure out what the person should be screaming, Michael Patrick King thought he should be screaming feces, but no one thought that was funny. And so he started doing it in the room. And they were like, all right, that's funny, but you have to do it now.
Okay.
So that's kind of how he got himself cast in the role. And I did write that, like, this isn't something that you wouldn't see just in New York.
Right. Well, before this, they even say that everyone in New York is crazy. It's New York. Everyone's insane.
Right. So now we kind of...
Yeah, I've seen weirder stuff. On my way here, there was a guy sitting in front of me on the bus and half of his outfit, which was just a normal-looking outfit, he had just painted in green glitter, and he was holding an unlit cigarette and rapping the same verse over and over and over again. But the kicker is that he had a purse that looked just like Carrie's purse when she's on the bike with Burger, with the dangly fringe.
Oh, interesting.
And that was just on the way here, and I didn't even think of it as strange until right now. I was like, just that's normal. A little different. Yeah.
So this is when he reveals that he's going to be there 8 to 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels comfortable there. And they're just in different spaces right now.
Yeah.
Ironically, it was the sanest breakup I ever had.
And then we cut to Lady Bunny.
Lady Bunny.
Who, for the record, inspired this episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael Patrick King apparently was walking by the LGBTQ.
I think it is.
At the time, it was LGBT. Yeah. He was walking by the then LGBT
the center.
Center. Yeah. And there was an ad for the prom, and Lady Bunny was going to be hosting it.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, that's an episode. So that's sort of where this all came from. So a bit of a full circle moment as we then have, like, Lady Bunny.
Is that Amanda Lepore in the background
yes,
as well?
Yes, Amanda Lepore is in the background. Apparently, most of the people at this prom were people who had been at that prom.
Who else is in there?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know that there are a lot of other famous people, but it's just, like, members of the center who
Leave
had gone
to me.
That prom.
I have no idea who Gwyneth Paltrow is, but I clocked Lady Bunny and Amanda Lepore.
And I guess Carrie made it to the prom?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
well,
somehow...
Well, because she didn't, like... stay that long.
Yeah,
she's
they
like,
kind
well,
of figured out
work.
It wasn't
How
work.
Did they win?
I don't know. They're okay. Queen and queen. I guess it's just funny. They dance and make some questionable jokes.
Yeah.
I don't think my story's gonna get tied up like that.
Your boyfriend might get tied up.
And taken away.
And then Marcus, may I cut in? No, thank you. I already have an escort. Shady.
Yeah, said Stanford makes an escort jab. This turns into an awkward three-way dance.
Oh, yeah. Carrie's, like, in the middle, just like, can I?
Yeah. Marcus tries to explain that that's not who he is.
I was really messed up back then.
I sort of want to know the Marcus story.
Drugs.
Probably. Yeah, Carrie goes to get punch, and he wants to know one thing. Yeah.
Did you ever sleep with that little bitchy pine nut? Why is he called a pine nut?
I guess because he's little.
Okay. Anthony?
So maybe it won't look the way you thought it would look in high school.
But it's good to remember, love is possible.
So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Maybe we've referenced this before, but like with the situation of your friend saying you're going to marry that person.
Yeah.
And with the times that I have felt a connection to someone and it hasn't worked out. This is what that is to me, is that at least it still feels like a possibility.
Mm.
I, you know, many, many years ago, fell for someone who was completely wrong for me and went through it. It was really, really tough. And I came out on the other side of it with the thought, you know what? I'm glad that I can still feel that way, though, because I kind of had decided that I just wasn't ever going to again. So in those moments when, like, it doesn't go the way you think it's going to, that's how I try to look at it.
And I think that is a great way to look at it. Because there is possibility, and she ends it with, it's good to remember, love is possible, anything is possible, this is New York. Because I'm not a negative person. Like, I get impatient, but I don't necessarily think nothing is possible. And to be honest with you, I don't necessarily not think that my friend was right, if that sounds right.
No, I like
she
it.
She could be...
I can do the double
Yeah, she could be correct, and that's fun for me to think that that is possible. And that's part of... this kind of shift I had in my brain a few years ago where I kind of switched from why isn't this happening to, oh, this could happen. And I think that that's important to do, even though last night at the dinner table, Mike Jensen in air quotes said, yeah, he's one of those people that still thinks, what was it?
Good things can happen.
Yeah, with air quotes, being a real negative person. But I love that you think that things are possible because they can be. And I think sometimes you forget that.
I think that sometimes I almost rage against the optimism so as not to feel disappointment.
Right. But you can also be optimistic without having expectations.
Sure. And I guess that's what I need to work on.
So like expectations, like what you thought of with that relationship that you were like, oh, love is still possible. That wasn't an expectation. An expectation would have been like, love is possible with this person and I want it to look this way, which may be what initially it was. But then you kind of came out from it and learned a lesson. So I guess just thinking love is possible is optimism. But thinking love is possible, but I want to have this wedding and this place, that's the expectation.
Right. So there you go. Nothing is too wonderful to be true. We've already used that reference.
Nothing is too wonderful. Yeah.
So there you go. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I couldn't help but wonder why Anthony was looking through a Honcho magazine from 1992, unless he just always remembered.
Maybe.
Which would lead me to believe. That's a good one, though. Like, that's probably why Stanford thought that, like, they had sex, because why else would he remember that guy?
Yeah, just leaving through an old Honcho magazine. Mm-hmm. She just has around the house. I couldn't help but wonder how long Samantha thought she was going to get away with being Annabelle Bronstein.
I keep thinking of the one from Will and Grace, Beaverhausen.
Anastasia.
Yeah. I wonder if that was, because it's both ABs, I wonder if that's, like, in the back of their brain.
I wonder. There used to be an Anastasia Beaverhausen that would always make reservations at a restaurant that I used to work at.
Oh.
And I always wondered if that was her real name or if she was just a big Will and Grace fan.
Yeah.
There you go. Two more episodes left.
Oh, no. And then what happens?
And then we'll just take like a week off probably.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and finish it up.
And then we're never coming back
again.
And then
who knows? Who knows what the future holds, but anything is possible. This is New York.
Wow, Mike, you're really turning around.
Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for The Domino Effect. Yes, so, bless. I'll let you blow your nose.
Thank you. I'm dealing with the common cold.
Your cold is common.
I hope I took cold medicine and not Midol. I mean, it really wouldn't matter.
In your late 30s, you were not the same person you were when you were in high school.
Did your toes just crack?
No, my ankles.
Oh, gross. One time my voice teacher in college said, "Your hair looks like my cat. This one." And then pointed to a cat on her caftan she was wearing to teach my voice lesson.
Nice aside.
I always think of that story. Yeah, and it was in the vintage issue of Honcho. Was that a real magazine?
That was a real magazine.
What kind of magazine was it?
I don't really, like, I probably owned a Honcho at some point. It was just gay male porn.
Oh.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know. I just read it for the articles.
Exactly.
Because once again, even though he's going through
Excuse you, sir.
Did you ever sleep with that bitchy pine nut, Anthony?
Okay, first.
Oh, sorry.
You want to go right to the bitchy lines. Yeah,
I'm thinking meth.
Something.
Was crystal meth not a thing
yet?
It
was a big thing. It might have been more like the K and the
Special
whatever,
K.
Special K.
Horse tranquilizers, if you will.
I just listened to a whole Chelsea Handler podcast with Alec Kashishian, director of Truth or Dare, because he's does K medicinally.
Yeah, microdosing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what he... Yeah, but there's a lot of things about microdosing.
A lot of things going on around that with that. Anyway, but I digress.